Okay, today is December 2nd, 2021. There will be seven hearings, daily hearings today. It is now 9 o'clock, and we will hear our first petition, which is BE2021-13, parcel number 121-080026. Property owner is George Hurst, and he is present today. The name of the appraiser is Brian Moneymaker. This petition is a residential petition, so this petition is scheduled for 20 minutes. The applicant and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight their points of evidence and that they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be rebuttal and questions from the board.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Greg Garcia, and myself, Joe Christ. I'm the chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mendelis. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial, as of those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor will present his case. You may begin with your case, Mr. Hurst.
Yes. Yep.
Do I need to keep my mask on when I talk?
No.
Okay. We got a new assessment here, and the building assessment is from $89,500 to $111,900. That's okay. I don't have any problem with the building assessment, okay? The new one, that's fine. The only problem I have is with the current use land. It went from 107 to 167, or 107,800 to 167,200. And that's a 55% increase on the current use land, 55% increase, which to me seems kind of, 55% increase is kind of whatever, a little bit high, I think. I only have two issues on the land. And the first issue is our land is subject to a water service contract, and our water service contract is limited, which means in a short year, we don't get our water's cut back, okay? A couple years ago, our ditch rider stopped at the house and he said, I'm not supposed to give you any water today because we're short on water right now. And I said, okay, what could I say? Anyway, our water service contract also says, if you have the information, it says we cannot use our land for orchards, for mint, or vine crops such as grapes or hops. And we agree not to plant any of these crops, orchard, mint, or vine crops on our land. And so that's somewhat, but that's not the big issue with me at this point. The big issue is we don't have legal title to our property. That's the big issue to me. And so how can our property be worth $279,000 if we don't have any legal wish, we don't have legal right of access? And so when I found this out, I went to Tycor Title Insurance, and I says, hey, and I talked to somebody in upper management, and he said, you do have t- You do have access. I'm going to prove it to you. And a week later, he calls me and says, no, you don't have access. And a week later, I get a paper from the insurance company, Tycor Title Insurance, and it says, no, our title, we have title insurance, but your title insurance does not cover access. And I thought, wow, okay. They says, no, your title insurance, even though it was bought and paid for, does not cover access. And that puts kind of us, there's a couple things we would like to do with our property, and as soon as the planning committee finds out that we don't have legal access, it's a no. And we talked to the irrigation district, and they said, you can use our roads, which we do. That's how we access our property. We use the irrigation roads that go, you know, irrigation, same roads that the ditch riders use. But our problem is, they told us, and the only way you can get legal access to your property is go to Ephrata, to the Bureau of Reclamation, and they will be the only people that can give you access, legal access to your property.
Your 5 minutes is done.
Oh, I only get five.
You'll have to stop.
Do I get more time later?
You may. We have some questions. The assessor needs to present his case.
Okay, I'll have you start with page one, showing the value of $279,100. That is the market value. The property is not in current use. The land size is 25 acres. There's a single-family residence on it and several outbuildings. Go down to page five, and you'll see that on July 28th, 2016, the walkthrough with the owner, 3 out of 5 bedrooms do not have heat. 1 bedroom is barely finished. Popcorn ceiling, paneling on walls, laminate, flooring throughout. So we had been at the property, and we had reduced the condition of the home to low fare, okay? And the land is actually, we did actually address all of these issues. We did address all these issues with Mr. Horse. The parcel has verbal-only access agreement with the irrigation district. So we gave it a 30% reduction in land value. No recorded legal access found. Parcel has limited water service contract, so we gave that a 20% reduction. And then that water service contract is going to be attached, and I'll show you that later. And then the improvement is a low fare condition. So go down to page 13, and that is a copy of the water service contract, and I have you go to page 14, the next page, of which the last paragraph, last sentence, the purchaser further agrees to use all practical methods to ensure the economical and beneficial use of water, and to this end agrees to apply irrigation water on the said land only by sprinkler method. And I checked with the irrigation district, and yes, he did receive water this last year. Go to page 15, and you'll look at the comparable sales of the land. And these are of irrigated land. The average price per acre for the appellant is $6,688 per acre. And if you look down at the very bottom, the average of the of all the irrigated land sales is $13,790, which is slightly less than 50%, like we had, which is showing the reductions that we did give it, given the issues with the property. So we did address them. I'll go to page 16 now. The average assessment ratio for that neighborhood, 412 and 413, is 96.53, and of one-story homes is 99.05. And then if you go down to page 18 and 19, we further address the price per square foot of the home, and it is at 41.35, Sales comparison approach with direct comparable sales was not used to establish value. The sales were not adjusted for differences nor compared to the subject property to calculate the market value for the subject property. We did extract the land value to show the price per square foot of the improvements. And like I said, the subject is 41.35, and the lowest of the comps is 68.83. So given all that information that we did address all these issues in the valuation, I ask that you sustain the value.
Mr. Horst, do you have any rebuttal to the assessor?
The only thing that I have to say is that if we want to sell this property, the new owner might want access, and if we can't supply access to the new owner, it certainly would affect the value of the property.
Okay.
And the Bureau of Reclamation told us that he's afraid that since there is a strip of federal land between us and our buildings, and it became very clear that they're not going to give us legal access to go across this strip of land, this federal land. He was up there several times at the Bureau of Reclamation in Euphrates. Something I have to say.
Okay.
I will just say again that we address these issues in our valuation.
Sure.
Gave it a 50% reduction.
Does the board have any questions?
I do. Brian,
yes.
You just said 50% you did on land, but earlier
yes.
You said 30%.
Oh, no, I said 30% and 20%, so a total of 50.
Oh, okay.
30% in land value for the access, and then 20% for the limited water service contract.
Okay, there, because I was going, wait a minute, I thought I heard 30% earlier, and then, okay, sorry. Okay, that's it.
Brian, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
On page 15, which is your table of irrigated land sales?
Yes.
Was that unrestricted irrigation? There was no limitations on these irrigation?
As far as the ones that are considered to be water service contract, I do not believe any of them have that. Maybe. I do not know.
Okay.
I'm guessing no, except for maybe the one that's 10,800, because it is below the average. There may be something there as far as the quality of the land, and it may have a water service contract. But regardless, those sales happened with knowledge of whatever contract was in them. When land becomes available, regardless, people are buying it.
Yeah. Okay. So because Mr. Horst, water is restricted to that contract, that's why you gave him a 20% reduction.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
And Brian, is that built into the Marshall and Swift?
The
20%?
No.
Or is that?
No, the Marshall and Swift just applies to the improvements.
Okay.
And so we address that with the low fare condition.
Okay.
And that reduces or increases the depreciation.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So there's not really something here that shows us exactly where that 20 and 30% shows up. We just take it that you started with a value and then you dropped it by 50.
Yes, really the one thing that really shows it is just that comparable sales page 16.
Okay.
Or no, excuse 15, me.
Page 15?
Page 15, correct.
Yeah.
And that shows the 50% reduction.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay, this concludes the hearing for petition number BE2021-13, parcel number 12108-0026. Owner is George Horst.
Okay, it is now 9:20, and this is a residential petition, petition number BE2021-17, parcel number 119341025, name Colbia Washington LLC. He is to be on the conference line. He has not called in yet. We have the appraiser, chief appraiser present, Mickey Morgan. This is considered the residential, so this petition is scheduled for 20 minutes. The opponent and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight points of evidence they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and myself, Joe Christ, as chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mendelez. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant is not present and has not called in yet, so the assessor will present her case. You may begin.
All right. Thank you. So, review of the property on page 1. This is 2.11 acres of R4 high-density residential land. There are 896 square feet of apartment office building, two 27,900 square foot apartment buildings, which total 80 apartment units. So this property is valued on the income approach, as are almost all of the multifamily properties in Franklin County. The aerial view is on page 4, followed by photos on page 5, and a sketch on page 6. So the following pages run through the overview of our cost approach and the characteristics of each building and component. The very important information is on page 11, which is our income approach. So along the top, you have the income sources. So there are 28 studio apartments, 28 one-bedroom apartments, 20 two-bedroom apartments, and 4 three-bedroom units. So along to the right, you see the contract information. We did receive income and expense information from this property owner within the last 3 years, which were used under contract information. And then you see market information to the right of that, which combines what we received from the appellant during that time, along with other comparable properties. So we have used the contract income and expense information. The box on the bottom left is what indicates that to you. But as you note, down near the bottom, the NOI, the net operating income, whether we use contract or market, really comes out to be almost exactly the same. So if we use the contract information, it comes to 291. And if we use the market information, it comes to 292.7. So well within the range there to use either one would be appropriate. The capitalization rate that was used is 5.75, leading to an overall value of $5,061,583. The following pages are the market information, including the subject property, which are there for you to review. This is all of the information that was analyzed and processed to come up with the income approaches for all the multifamily units. And then the cap rate is there on page 13. For your review.
I don't have any questions.
So, just a couple of things that kind of strike me. The cap rate, you said you used 575?
Yes.
But page 12 shows 521.
Yes, this is the information that was printed out. You can see these are the actuals. So these are the actual cap rates, and then we have to decide, okay, what one cap rate are we going to use for this area?
Right.
So this is the average of the actual for each market area. You have East, which came in at 4.85, and West and Central, which came in at 5.21. And then what we used was the 5.75, which errs on the side of being conservative.
Okay, goodness.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And you say that the information that the appellant supplied is included in this page on
Sure? Theirs didn't sell, so it's not on the cap rate page.
Oh.
Theirs is their income and expense information was used to find the market income, vacancy, expense percentages, and those sort of things.
Okay. The board doesn't have any other questions? So this will conclude the hearing for petition number BE2021-17 for parcel number 119341025. The owner is Cobia Washington, LLC. The time is 9:27.
Okay, it is now 9:31. And we have two parcels that will be presented by property owner Sean Merle. The first petition will be BE2021-18, parcel number 126270142, along with petition number BE2021-19, parcel number 126270115. These both are considered residential properties. So this petition is scheduled for 20 minutes apiece. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight the points of evidence that they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Greg Garcia, and myself, Joe Crist. And the chair, our clerk, is Jennifer Mendelez. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor will present his case. You may begin with your case.
Thank you. I can take this off.
Yes.
Right? I have two goals here, probably three today. One is to get a what I would consider a fair assessment of my property for taxation purposes. And honestly, the other one is not to speak in anger. This has been a very frustrating process. This is a very intimidating process. I'm sure you hear that. To become a I'm not a real estate person, and to have to learn all of this, I didn't do a very good job, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that comes before you and is frustrated with that process. And so I wrote the letter. I think you've had a chance to review, and in simple terms, Of the two pieces of property, one, the assessment increased 84%, and the other one, the assessment increased 82%. And who wouldn't be a little irritated by that? In addition, it's been a process increasing exponentially over the last years. I have a couple of concerns, but one is I will be taxed off my property. And, you know, you work hard, you do well, and there you are. So what I did was, before I filed here, I called the assessor's office, and because I just was so stunned by what that was, and there was a pretty broad increase across my neighborhood. I'm sure you appreciate that. And was advised that there wasn't really much I could do except go before the Board of Equalization, and that since I had water and power on the property, anybody would come along and buy it. What I will tell you is that the comps that came along with it, I know you hear this a lot, but there aren't many other places like mine. It's a barn on 8 acres, 8-plus acres, and then it's undeveloped land on the four that we're talking about right now. It does have a view, and you know what? It's an amazing view, but it's also my home. It, because of growth management, I can't break it down. I can't sell it. I don't want to. I have water and power on one of the pieces. I know I'm speaking about both, but that's where we are. And so I filed with the Board of Equalization, wrote the letter that you see, tried to find comps that spoke to what the land is, wasn't very successful because, quite frankly, that's not my skill set. Had some help from friends, had some help from a realtor, and included those with this. After this was submitted, I got a call from Mr. Moneymaker, and the yellow sticky note is a recap of our conversation. I told him that I wanted to think about it and that I would call back the next day. I did not. Life happens. And called back the following day, and he wasn't available, and I was told that they would accept the first piece that he had said, but that they couldn't agree to the second piece because of the layout of the land, which is it's challenging. It would require geological engineering to build on it. It has a slope. It's down a ravine. I'm going to stop.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So, I'd like to start off on page one. The value is a reduced value that we are willing to go to, 263,900, land size of 4.73 acres. It is a vacant lot. Go down to page four, and it shows you what we did with this land, and we have a major impact. We gave it a land influence of a negative 60% for topography major impact, meaning it just has just a little bit of place where you can build a house, and that's about it. So we address that. And then we also address the view. We got to address them both, and that is a plus 60% increase for view. And these are all, we get these based on sales. Continue down to page 8, and you'll see the aerial map of the subject, and you'll also see where that where the topography impacts the property. Continue to page 9, and you'll see that the this is the comparable sales that we used. And 4.73 acres is the subject. All the comparable sales are close to that. Right within 5 acres. The value per acre for the subject is $55,792, whereas comparables 1, 2, and 5 are all more than the subject and average, and the average sale of all of the comparable sales is $55,470, which is basically right at where the subject is. But I just want to point out two of those sales, 1 and 5, they do not even have a view of the river, and yet they're higher. They're higher than what we have for the subject. Okay. Continue on to page 10 is a map of the subject and the sales, showing where they are in proximity to each other. And so in conclusion, I would just like to say that we addressed the topography issue, we addressed the river view issue, we compared the sales, to the subject, and given all that information, I ask that you sustain the value.
Ms. Murrow, you have time for rebuttal?
Can I ask questions?
Sure.
Yeah.
Are these the same comps that were used on the original assessment?
We gave a whole listing of comps. These are 5 of them.
Of the original assessment?
Yes.
Okay. And on number 1 and 5, where they don't have a view, but the valuation is higher, is that what I heard you just say?
Could you ask that I'd rather not?
Okay, so on number 1 and 5, mm-hmm. where there's no view but the value of the land is higher?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can those properties be built on, or do they have a home on them now?
That I couldn't tell you. They are sold as land only.
Yeah,
that is how they were sold. These are land only sales.
And so can they be built on?
Well,
I don't have any way of
I'm assuming that they all can be built on.
You'd have to look at the map on page 10. It looks like a couple of these are located in somewhat what I would consider residential areas.
Correct.
Yeah, one could be built on five would be built on because that's a
they're all built on. Sale number 3 is actually right across the street from a dairy.
And number 2 looks like it. There's a question on it, but it's close to the river also.
Yeah.
Okay.
But 1 and 5 are definitely no view, according to this, and they're land only.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And they're in a residential 5-acre plot area. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those would be able to be built on, according to this map.
Do you have any other questions?
Not for this, no.
Okay. Craig, do you have any questions on
this? No, not at this time.
Alicia, do you have any questions?
No, not on this piece of property.
We have one. Ms. Murrow, if you look on the aerial picture on page, whatever page it is, I guess that'd be page 8 of the assessor's presentation.
Yeah.
If you look at that, do I understand that it almost looks like quarter part of that property is pretty flat?
None of it's flat.
Okay.
In that part of it, that's not true. There's probably 300 yards and 300 yards, but it has elevation,
right,
and movement, and it goes down into a ravine, yeah,
okay,
pretty quickly.
All right. And your own words were, and based on the photo that we have from the assessor, it's a pretty,
I'm sorry,
pretty good view.
It's a beautiful view.
Beautiful view. Okay.
So it's undeveloped land with a beautiful view.
Yeah, I understand.
And it would be then engineered to build a house.
Completely.
It would
okay.
Can I interject?
Okay.
It is the topography major impact addresses all of that.
Right.
Addresses it,
right.
The fact that it is buildable.
60%.
You just have to take care. You just have the engineering involved and the challenges with the topography.
Right.
Okay.
No other questions from the board?
No.
That's good.
Okay.
Let's move into this.
This concludes the hearing for petition number BE2021 18. Parcel number 12627-0142. We'll now move on to petition number BE2021-19, parcel number 12627-0115. Ms. Moreau is still the appellant. Mr. Moneymaker represents the assessor's office, and your oath is still valid, so we will continue on with this petition.
Okay. It's the same thing, only different. This has a building on it. It was built, I believe, 25 years ago. And it's a barn with a loft living space. The land is a little bit flatter towards the back. Would still have the same requirements in terms of geological engineering. And I think it should show on the photo, I'm going to guess, because I look at it differently. And I believe the assessment went up 82% on this. Yeah, you can see on the photo here, it is sloping from the top of the piece, but there are some flat pieces. So this is going to be flat right here, but this right here slopes all the way down until you get to the draw there. It's the same issue. I've learned a little bit about the different ways that these properties are assessed. I don't think there's much else out there and similar to this. I have no intention of selling, but as I mentioned earlier, I have a pretty big concern about being taxed off my home, off my property, and I'm not sure how else to address it. What is interesting to me, I included my conversation, my notes from my conversation with Mr. Moneymaker in the yellow sticky. Sorry, that's the best I could do. Well, it looks like they, I thought this was the offer to the change. I told them I want to talk about it, and there wasn't another opportunity, evidently. It's a pretty short timeline when it all comes down to it. And so I don't know if it's okay to ask you questions, but what else can I do? What should I do?
We really, in this forum, we can't really respond to your question. We can only look at the evidence that we've been presented to, by you and the assessor's office.
So I went through on both of the on both of these and tried to find similar properties and the assessments that went along with them. It's the best I could do, folks.
You did a nice job.
Well, thank you.
You really did.
And the assessor did give you, it looks, appears that he gave you a list of...
And I went through those, and that was initially, that was with the initial assessment before all of this, and I went on and looked at them. I think there were two that were similar. They just weren't comps. They were in town, or they were property that had a home on it, like a home. I seriously, you see the picture of the barn? I live in a barn. I have 400-plus square feet of living space, and the rest of it is barn. Not arguing that. That's my choice. But the valuation is going to kill me.
Mr. Moneymaker, you may begin.
Okay, start off with page one. Total value is $653,800. It is land size of 8.6. It is a barn with, and it has a barn with living quarters. Continue on to page four. If you look at the land, about two-thirds of the way down, it'll show you that we have an influence of the view, river view of 6, which is 60%, plus 60%, and then a topography minor impact of minus 20, and I'll show that in just a little bit. And then it shows the frame with a frame barn with a residential loft area. Go down to page 9, which is the aerial map, and you can see where the property is located, and you can see where the amount of impact is minor for the topography. Continue on to page 10, you will see that it's the comparable land sales, you'll see the value per acre of the land for the appellant is $61,860. And if you look at the sales, we bracketed, if you bracket one and two, I'd say we didn't bracket them, I'm just bracketing them right now.
Right.
The subject property is, it falls in the closer to sale number one, which does not have a view of the river. And then I'll also have you look at sale number four. Again, it is higher than the subject property, and it does not have a view of the river as well. So given those three sales, it shows that we are valuing this property in accordance with other comparable properties. And go to page 11, you'll see where the sales are located. And just want to address a little bit about the information that was presented. There's a combination of assessed values and sales, okay? And and also, you can't, we can't do nothing about other valuations, okay? This, we're just talking about this property right now. We can't compare other valuations. We have the sales to prove our valuation. And also with what was provided, there are no time adjustments taken into account when you look at the stuff that was printed out on each parcel. There's no time adjustment that was even considered. I ask that you sustain the value.
What does that mean? What does that last part mean? There's no time. What does that mean?
Can you explain that?
We time adjust sales based on when the sale occurred in an increasing or decreasing market. We're going to time adjust up or down. And in this case, as we all know, the last 5 years, 10 years, land values have been going up. Can't help that. That's just where the sales have been going. So we look at sales that have properties that have sold twice, and there are quite a few out there of people take advantage of the market where they bought in 4 or 5 years ago and then they sold again. There's one that I can think of that's a non-irrigated 20-acre sale not far from the subject, probably about 4 miles from the subject, that had a 40% increase in 2 years. So 3 years. So that's how we come up with these time adjustments.
So what you're saying is on these particular sales, since they didn't fall in 2020, then you increase them per percentage per year,
correct? Per month, actually, we do it on a monthly basis.
Okay.
Going
for
back.
Most of these, there are about 1% per month.
As far as our time adjustments, it's a judgment call. I don't have the exact amount that we time adjusted them. It's what we did for just about every land parcel in the county.
And then you show by your time adjusted ratio that many of these you're below. Even when the property sells, you're still estimating the value less than what it actually sold for.
Not by choice.
No,
we're supposed to be at 100%. But
okay.
Yeah, we try, and that's how we can do it.
Okay. Ms. Morrow, does that answer your question?
Well, I guess it does that one. So there's potential for increase in valuation at a 1% basis, 1% per month basis.
Based on historical sales, yes.
It may not be
1%. Right.
It may not be.
It's whatever it's.
If the market flattens out, the market flattens out.
Okay. All right. So the next question is, I don't know who to. You said that this assessment was based on a combination of assessed value and sales, and then said we can't use assessed value comps, and I don't understand that. I wrote it down.
Okay. Do you want to explain that, Mr. Miller?
Basically, I mean, it's spelled out in the appeal. Let's see, where does it show that? Let me find that. Let's see. We used to say on here that where is that? That you cannot use comparable assessments as a basis for an appeal. It has to be comparable sales only. And that's all we provide, comparable sales.
Okay, what I heard was that your assessment of this included assessed values and sales.
No, I...
That's what I heard.
Okay. And no, I... The information that was presented here is a listing of their parcel, and it is what's listed on the parcel, because they're taking straight from our tax sifter webpage. That's just the assessed value. It doesn't explain any of the sales or any time adjustments or anything like that. It shows a sale, but it doesn't show any time adjustments.
The answer is Monroe's question. The only values you use to determine your assessed value are sales.
Are sales only.
Sales.
They are sales only.
They do not go and look at other assessed values.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
That's why I only present. That's why I only present sales.
Okay. Is it still me?
Okay, you may go ahead and ask another question.
So, actually, this is regarding the land. This is hard. This is, you know, one dimension. You don't get to see everything. But where you see this little piece right here that looks like the draw,
right.
That's not the only. It actually is. I mean, I could put cows on it and probably will. But you're not going to build anything right here. This is. It goes like this,
right.
And then like that. And so to say that this is moderate part of the whole 8 acres, it's not. It goes. Would you agree that you know the land, right? You've indicated that
I've been
you know
on the property.
That it comes all the way up here, and that right directly behind the barn, it's somewhat flat, but it falls away right after that.
It falls away, but it's still buildable, and that's how we. That's how we determined it when we look at the properties.
So what percentage of the property do you consider buildable?
If you look at that piece, probably...
A half acre, an acre. If you remove the barn, what part of your...
Without geological engineering? Maybe this back section right here.
Would that be a half an acre, an acre?
Probably, actually, if you went all the way back here,
four, eight, seven,
probably three.
3 acres?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you agree with that?
About
3 acres?
No, I would say the part that's not buildable is maybe two or three.
Hmm.
It's basically that draw.
Okay, so you'd say 5 acres was buildable.
At least 5 acres.
Okay.
With or without geological engineering.
Does it matter?
And
that's what we consider. That's also included in the topography adjustment. All that is considered in the topography adjustment.
Adjustment. And you're giving them a 20% off on the topography.
Correct.
Okay.
You got any questions,
Lisa? Nope, because that answered my question. Okay.
One thing I have is the residential part.
Yes.
Okay. And a barn.
Mm-hmm.
You divide that or take it all at one?
I guess I don't understand.
She's got a residence on top of the barn.
Yes.
Okay. And this is marked residential, but yeah, they call it a barn.
Well, yes, and that's how we consider it a miscellaneous. It's classified as a miscellaneous improvement, the whole part, the whole barn. And then if you go to page 4, you'll see frame barn, wood balcony, roof cover, a residential loft, living area, 400 square feet, and then horse stables, and then site utilities.
Okay.
So that's the only way it's differentiated. It's a miscellaneous improvement.
Thank you.
You bet. Can I finish? It's a miscellaneous improvement in a rural residential lot.
Mr. Moneymake, I got a question. The I know on the comps, you page 10, under zoning, it talks about AP 20, and it looks like the only one that was a comp that was an AP 20 was number 3.
Correct.
AP 20, what does that mean?
Agricultural production, 20 acre minimum.
So is that something that can be changed?
No. Not without it takes. It can't be changed. The county planning, the Growth Management Act, all prohibit all of that. Again, we're comparing the residential acreage of 8.6 to anywhere from 5 to 18. Acre parcels, which are rural residential in nature. That's what we're comparing it to. I just added that in because it was less than 20 acres.
So maybe I missed. So AP 20 doesn't, is the 20 tied to 20 acres?
What's that?
So AP 20 is just a number that says you can't reduce the size of
this parcel. Yeah, it's just like even this parcel probably couldn't be reduced any further. This was set up before the AP 20 zoning came into effect.
Okay.
It was already grandfathered in. That's.
Okay. Okay. I don't have any other questions. The board doesn't have any questions.
No.
Okay. This concludes the hearing for petition number BE 2021-19, parcel number 12627. 0115. The owner is Sean Murrow. The time is 10:02.
Okay, it is now 10:20, and we will hear petition number BE 2021-20, parcel number 119341025. Petitioner is Southland Corporation. Appraiser is Brian Moneymaker. Is present. Sovereign Corporation is not present. This is considered a commercial property, so the petition is scheduled for 30 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 10 minutes to highlight their points of evidence that they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and myself, Joe Crist, as the chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mendelez. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded, and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant is not present and has not called in. And so the assessor will present his case. You may begin with your case.
Okay, starting off with page one, value of $328,200. It is a convenience market located in the C1 residential business district. If you go to page two, methodology just shows that we have to appraise at 100% of market value. Go to page three is a continuation of that. Page four is a listing of the the characteristics of the property. 2,584 square foot building built in 1969. It is of good quality, average condition, and masonry bearing walls. Continue on down to page. Six is a photo of the property. Page seven is a sketch of the property. Got the photo blacked out the number. Sorry about that. Page eight is a aerial view of where the property is located on Sylvester and 14th. Page nine is our assessment for neighborhood 100 commercial land, of which we are at 84%. Page 10 is our overall assessment of neighborhood 100 commercial, by the way. Improved sales, of which we're at 89% overall. Continue on down to page 11, and this is a listing of our sales. The subject property, we have the commercial improvement only at $85.84 per square foot. Of the sales, the average of all the sales is $134.97 per square foot. Now that is just the commercial improvement. So we remove the land, and it gives us just a commercial improvement. Land and miscellaneous improvements, actually. What you'll see is the first one is in Benton County. I added that in there because it's a former 7-Eleven store. So it's the same build. I can't speak for their quality and condition. That's from them. But either way, it sold for $157 per square foot. Sales two and three are both convenience markets that have sold. The first one was sold in Basin City at $150 per square foot. The second one is a convenience market built that is actually older than the subject, and it is in Mesa, and it's sold for $81 a square foot. But it's in Mesa, population 300 or so. So overall, you know, that average of $134.97 really reflects, you know, where the market is for convenience markets. Page 12 is the sale number one, which, as you can see, it looks pretty much like the subject. It is a former 7-Eleven. Page 13 is sale number two. That's the sale in Basin City. Sale number three is the sale in Mesa. And on page four, that's on page 14. And then sale number four is on page 15, and that's actually in Wapato, which is, again, a very smaller market, fewer people going by, traffic, all that. So with all of that, I guess I got to finish by saying that we use a market-adjusted cost approach, and or calibrated cost approach, if you will, where we use a depreciation factor based off of the cost or condition, based on the condition of the property and the age. And so that is how we came up with that $85 per square foot. And as you can see, it's way less than the comparable sales. So with that, I ask that you sustain the value.
Board doesn't have any questions, so this will conclude the hearing for petition number BE2021-20, parcel number 119341025. The owner is Southland Corporation. The time is now 10:28.
Okay, it is now 10:40. We will hear petition number BE2021-21. Parcel number is 118180059. The homeowners are Steve and Kristen Anderson, which they are not present. And the appraiser present is Monica Fetchkill. This is considered a residential petition, so this petition is scheduled for 20 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight points of the evidence that they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and myself, Joe Christ, as the chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mendelez. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant is not present, so the assessor will present her case. You may begin.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to explain the assessment for the property located at 11111 West Court Street. This property is 1.12 acres. It is zoned rural suburban, or RS-12. The home is a one-story with a basement. 2,815 square feet is on the main level. 560 square feet is a finished basement. There is an attached garage of 576 square feet and a wood deck of 1,361 square feet. Also on the parcel is a 720 square foot utility building, of which 180 square feet of that is a storage mezzanine. Who would please follow me to page 6 and 7, where you will find the property, the subject property's sketch and also photo. In the state of Washington, state law requires that the assessors appraise property at 100% of its true and fair market value in money, according to the highest and best use of the property. If you would please follow me to page 11, which you will find the neighborhood stats for subject property today. Our level of assessment right now is at 94.34%. There were over 40 qualifying market sales that happened in 2020 that were used during the analysis of this neighborhood. If you would please follow me to page 14 through 16, and here you will find the similar sales that I've provided. I would like to note that the sale comparison approach with direct comparable sales was not used to establish value. The sales were not adjusted for differences nor compared to the subject property to calculate the market value for the subject property.
Right now, currently, the price per square foot of our subject is assessed at $205.33 per square foot. We have a sales range of $207.70 to all the way to $297.92 price per square foot. I would like to share, I did provide sale six. This was listed by the appellant. I wanted to take a moment just to note that this sale happened in 2021. It does not compare to the subject in style, age, and quality. And therefore, because the sale happened in 2021, it was not included in our sales pool. I emphasize with the appellant regarding the concerns that they have, that they stated in the petition regarding any future use for a treatment facility. I wouldn't be able to quantify that in the market unless it was happened and we have sales to show that it's selling for less. There is an adjustment, a 5% reduction for being next to the water treatment that it is currently. So we did, adjust 5% down for that in the assessment as well. And that concludes my evidence.
And do we know why 5%?
It is a something that we acknowledge. It's something that we can apply equitably to all parcels if they are in fact the only home next to a water treatment facility.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I noticed you also give a 20% on river proximity.
Yes.
Does this piece of property have a river view? Of any sort? Do you know?
At the time of the assessment, it was not determined that that was, that they did have a view. The 20% proximity is something that was applied to all parcels that are on that side of Court Street that are near the river, but however may not necessarily have a view of the river. Okay. So we acknowledged the location in an increase of 20%.
And that's something you typically see in those homes being sold along that?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we typically see that. We see a trend that, you know, the higher people pay more money for riverfront or river view or near the river, walking okay. distance to river, yes.
The only thing I do have a question, and this might be something that the county assessor might be interested in. When I was going through the on page 12, you have a list of all the properties that you use to do your statistical summary report.
Yes.
And the numbers that are listed in the sale and then also in the time-adjusted sale price, many of those values seem to go up and down, without any necessarily rhyme or reason. And then I noticed that the prices of the values that you used on your subject sales and the subject neighborhood on the last pages, 14 and 15,
mm-hmm.
those numbers in the time-adjusted sale price don't appear to match what you list in your statistical summary report. So I just bring that to your attention because I don't know, it raises concern for me when I see the numbers that you're stating on your neighborhood don't match up with the values, because it might communicate to me that it calls into question your analysis. So that's the only thing.
Can you give me specific ones that you're referring to?
Yeah, if you look at sale one, you have the time-adjusted mm-hmm. sale price of $339,200. The time-adjusted sale price on sale one is $322,240. So that's actually lower than what we show here. Number two, the price is $400,400. And number two shows up as $380,380. Each one is actually different. So all five sales show a different value. Unless I've got
something wrong with my evidence here or my report on page 12.
On page 12, that's correct. Let me see. Let me take a moment really quick. Because I don't have my... Okay, I see what you're saying. Just one moment. Let me look here. Road 110. Yes, that is. I apologize. They are reviewed, and this was not caught. So I need to even if it was lowered, it would still be above. I don't have a calculator with me. I apologize, but it would still be above the assessed price per square foot. I would have to give you yes.
But I just would. Yeah, if you would take a look at that.
Yes, absolutely. Because I'm new to this process, we would have to have another hearing for additional evidence, correct?
I don't believe it would be possible.
Or we wouldn't be able to do that. Okay.
Not this year.
Okay. Thank you.
We have to go with what we have. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, this concludes the hearing for petition number BE2021-21, parcel number 11818-00059. The owners are Steve and Kristen Anderson. The time is now 10:51.
Thank you.
Oh, wrong one.
Okay,
sorry.
It is now 11:00. The petition number is BE2021-41. Parcel number is 11350011 Broadmoor LLC, which is not present or not on the phone. Chief of the present is Nikki Morgan. This is considered a commercial property, so this petition is scheduled for 30 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 10 minutes to highlight points of evidence that they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and myself, Joe Crist, as chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mendelez. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are, to some extent, judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to provide the assessment, to prove that the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our court will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you brought to you is the truth?
I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant is not present, and nor has he called in. And so the assessor will begin with her case. You may begin.
Okay, thank you. So just to review this property on page one, This is 14.99 acres of R4 high-density residential land. It includes 14 apartment buildings, one clubhouse, 16 garages including 96 stalls, 25 carports including 147 stalls. This property is valued on the income approach. The aerial view is on page 4, including the schematic of the buildings and numbers. Photos on pages 5 and 6, followed by the sketch. So, from page 9 on is a printout of the characteristics and building information detail. There's quite a few pages because there's quite a few buildings. Followed by page 25, which is the income approach. So there are 108 one-bedroom units, 126 two-bedroom units, 18 three-bedroom units, 96 garage stalls, and 147 carport stalls. So please note that the contract information is not filled out. They did not respond to our questionnaire, which was sent out in 2020. We did physically inspect this property. It was in our inspection area. We were there on February 24th of this year. We spoke to the on-site manager who provided us with information, including a COVID impact started in December of 2020. So being that this is a January 1 value, COVID had not impacted their property yet whatsoever. The government funding didn't end until January of 2021. And she was able to confirm with us that COVID had not impacted their expenses at all. So when we were there, we were able to verify their rental rates for the carports and garages were slightly different than what we had shown for market, but that the other room rates lined up pretty much with what we had. So the income information at the top of the income form, like I said, is all based off of market data. Vacancy and collection loss of 4% and the capitalization rate of 5.75, bringing the market value to $38,374,200. So the following page is a list of the multifamily sales and the indicated cap rates coming in at 4.85 for East Pasco and 5.21 for Central and West Pasco. And again, we use the 5.75 to err on the side of being conservative. Page 27 includes the different sales that took place in 2020 using the 5.75. You can see the West and Central at the bottom. Two indicated in red are the most comparable properties to this one. Sold in 2019 for $55 million and $31 million. And our ratios indicated along the right for those two large properties were at 87% and 83% of those time-adjusted sales prices. Then the last page, page 28, is a Benton County sale of Regency Park on Queensgate in Richland. It sold in July of 2021 for $44,329,000. It's a two-parcel sale, includes 8 buildings, 24 units each, which totals 192 units, with a similar breakdown of studio through three-bedroom units. So just indicate that even post-COVID, post-January 1, apartment values continue to steadily increase. That's also indicated with the double sale of the Navigator Villas, and Chapel Hill apartment sales. It shows a 54% increase in value between 2016 and 2019 for apartments. Of all the property types in Pasco, I'd say multifamily has been the most drastic increases over the last few years, which we continue to see into this year.
Where was that information you just mentioned, the double sale?
The double sale, they are listed on...
Page
26. No, maybe. Let me look for the parcel number real quick, just to verify that they're on there. They end in 010 and 011. Yeah, they're the last two on page 26, the Chapel Hill Apartments. And the Navigator Villas are just above that. So the difference between the 2016 sale, which isn't on this sheet because it's outdated. We're just looking at the difference between what it sold for in 2016 and this 2019 sale. Strictly on an income approach for all multifamily properties, based off of a very large income and expense project that we did in 2019, which we will be doing again this year.
So your, I guess it's what's called the improvement value report.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like something that we've seen in the past from Marshall and Swift.
Correct.
So it uses some of that information. So. But you're not using this information at all.
It's not used to value the property. It's just maintained to keep the integrity of the parcel so that we have the year built, the condition, number of units, whether or not they have heating and cooling.
Okay.
It's where we store all the characteristic data for the buildings.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't expect to see this as a what we would expect to see.
Right. That
construction is not being presented in this.
Exactly. That depreciated cost for each building, if you added them up, wouldn't come to the assessed value, just because the market is playing a different factor than simply cost to rebuild.
Sure. Okay. Sorry, I kind of jumped in there. Rachel, do you have any questions?
You're fine.
Nope.
Yes, but not for Nikki.
Oh, okay. All right.
You done?
Yes.
Okay, this concludes the hearing for a petition BE2021-41, parcel number 1153-50011. The owner is Broadmoor, LLC, and the time is 11:10.
Very cool.
Okay.
Okay, it is 11:30, and we are now going to hear petition number BE2021-17, parcel number 1193410-25, Colville, Washington, LLC. And present on the conference line, we have Vincent Guan, and we have Chief Appraiser President Nikki Morgan. This is considered a commercial property, so the petition is scheduled for 30 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 10 minutes to highlight points of evidence they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions of the board.
Good morning. This is a reconvene of this petition due to earlier technical problems with phoning in. So welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and myself, Joe Christ, as chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mendelez. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial, as of those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove that the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Okay, so do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Vincent?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor will present her case. Mr. Guan, you may start with presenting your case.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Thank you for being flexible on the reschedule of the hearing. So the assessor's office notified us that the new value of our property, which is an apartment complex, will be increased from $4,157,700 to $5,081,600, which is an increase of 21.74%. Now, as you can see from the income and expenses that we submitted, between 2019 and 2020, our total income actually has grown almost no growth. If we actually try to be accurate, then it's actually less than 1% our income growth. Our expense has a little bit lower amount. But it's actually because, as we all know, that in year 2020, there has been a lot of difficulties in terms of supply and contract availability. So in any case, even discounting for the deferred maintenance that we have, just a few examples, we actually have, you know, about $30,000 hallway carpet that we have deferred to this year, and $50,000 for building painting, and also the roof work that we haven't actually embarked on. But in any case, putting those aside, even our expense is lower, and just the taking the number as is, from the tax return, our net operating income, only increased by less than 5%, 4.96% to be accurate. So based on these numbers, there is no way that we see that how the property value can be justified to have an increase of 21.745%. And actually, based on the actual numbers that I just stated, if we just use a market cap, basically an average market cap of 5.5%, we can only reach a market value of 4.56 million. So, regardless, you know, how we look at it from our perspective, we believe the new value of more than $5 million is not justifiable. So that's how we reach our conclusion and determination for the appeal.
Okay.
So that would be our side of reasoning.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll now hear from the assessor's office.
Okay, so just to review, this property is valued on the income approach. As the appellant has pointed out, we are going to look at the income and expenses, but the piece that's missing is the market cap rate and what's going on with the market. I think that it may have been incorrectly applied when he's speaking of a 5.5% cap rate would only achieve four point something million value, which is very similar to what we have done. On page 11 of my packet, I indicate that the income and expense information is similar. So when I'm looking at the appellant's 2020 numbers, just taking 2020 as an example, if you take the 580 minus the 329, you get 258, which is actually less NOI than what I've used on my packet at 291. So, but he's quoting a market cap rate of 5.5, where I've used 5.75, and it's indicating a value of the $5 million. So I'm not sure how the math was done, but with an NOI of 291 and a market cap of 5.75, that indicates a value of the $5,061,583. And I would just ask that you would sustain this value.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Guan, you have opportunity for rebuttal, as does also the board.
Okay. I'm sorry, the sound quality wasn't very good. Probably it's because of the assessor is far away from the microphone. So what was the cap rate that you believe in the area?
Do you have my packet of information in front of you?
I'm sorry.
Mr. Vaughn, do you have the assessor's information packet with you?
Unfortunately, I don't have it with me right now because of the rescheduling. So I just have to, you know, I'm actually outside.
Okay.
So
all right.
That convenience.
So It's on page 11 of my packet at 5.75%, and then backed up with information from pages 12 and 13.
Okay. Yeah, so actually we use a 5.5%, which is actually a lower cap rate, which can actually reach a higher market value. So if we use our actual net operating income and apply the 5.75 cap rate, then, you know, the value based on our actual financial information in the tax return, it's actually only comes to 3.236 million. So I think there are some individuality of our property, being in Pasco, and our clientele has been always in the lower end of the market. So our most of our tenant populations are migrant workers or service workers. So, you know, we are not, you know, I would say, you know, the property, the nature of this property and the clientele of this property, actually it's at the, you know, I would say at the lower, quarter percentile of the market. So we believe that, you know, this, individuality of the property should be taken into account. And in our calculation, we have been already conservative in terms of applying a lower cap rate. So, and the 21% increase, basically, no matter from which angle we look at it, like if we look at in 2020, the S&P only has an appreciation of 18.4%. So the 21.74% is just very excessive.
That's it to me. Yeah. Okay. So the percentage increase, unfortunately, is higher because we were undervalued the previous year. We are required to value at 100% of market value. So when you are in an area where we're doing a new appraisal on your property, we're not allowed to look at the percentage of increase. We have to look at the market value and arrive at that value that year, each year. So if I'm looking at, I'm guessing that what was provided to us was 2019 data, because if I take the actuals that were given to us that were used on the contract side of page 11 of my packet, it pretty closely replicates what you have in your 2019 numbers in your board packet. It comes to your board packet, if I take the 576.5 and I subtract the expenses of 336.7, it comes to 298, which is pretty close to the 291 that was provided to us. It's closer. So in order to achieve the market value, you take the 298 and divide it by the cap rate of 5.75, which is what the spreadsheet on page 11 is doing. So coming in at the market value of $5,061,000. Not indicating that the market has increased for this property by the amount of the assessment value change, just simply what is the property worth on January 1st of 2021, and that according to sales of similar properties in Pasco, we are still coming in approximately 20% low. So the cap rate is going to continue to go down. As you mentioned, it doesn't necessarily correlate with your NOI going up. It correlates with what the cap rate is doing as well. What are investors willing to invest because their level of risk is low?
All right. Mr. Guan, do you have any other comment?
So I think based on my memory that I remember when I look at the package, the assessor's package, I think there are some extrapolation based on basically our number, our financial figures to which you basically expense ratio and then use that and then apply that to the market, the average market value of the property in the area, and then divide that by the cap rate. So and that's how the 5.5 million value is reached. Market value is reached. But if we actually use our 2019 financial number as they are, and then apply that 7.75% market cap rate, then our actual value of the property is only less than 3.1 million. So
it's
which means
not
that if we
7.75.
were to sell the property based on our 2019 number, which is very similar to our 2020 financial number, based on the cap rate that we are discussing, then our property at least would not be sold, or it would be sold at a value far less than five million. It would be between based on our number, it would be 3 million. So in the best case, if we adjust the ongoing trend of cap rate being lower, I think our conclusion can only be that the value is somewhere between 3 million and 5 million. But not, more than that.
I think you might have misunderstood when I was verbally telling you the cap rate that we are using. It's 5.75, not 7.75. That would make a huge difference to the value.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board?
No.
I have one question, Nikki.
Yep.
The values that you used on page 11.
Mm-hmm.
There's two columns here. You have the contract values and then you have the market values. Where did you get those? amounts?
The contract information was provided by the appellant in the original request for information that we sent out before setting values.
Okay.
And then the market numbers came from the appellant and everyone else who responded. About two-thirds of all multifamily properties responded with very detailed information. So we took the appellant's income information, income and expense information in with all the others and arrived at market. And you can see the income is different and the expense is different, but with both of the difference applied together, the NOI comes out to almost exactly the same.
Well, I'm just comparing the numbers that you have here with the numbers that the appellant has in their packet.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It more resembles the 2019 numbers. That must have been what they had given us because it comes into 298, which is close to the 291 that we have.
Okay.
And then 2020 goes down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't have any other questions. The board doesn't have any other questions. So, so this concludes the hearing for petition number BE2021-17. This is parcel number 11934125. The owner is Cobia Washington LLC. The time is 11:52. So, Mr. Guan, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thank you.